Now turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And we will read at verse 10 of Revelation chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I have often thought if there was one word that I could add, would like to add to the scriptures, it would be after this verse. The devil will be in the lake of fire tormented forever and ever. And I would say hallelujah. That's what the old devil deserves. But read on from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, the awesome presence of Christ in his glory as judge. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Now I sincerely trust that God will bless the reading of this very sobering portion of his word. While the book of the Revelation is a very instructive and interesting book to read, there is a very definite note of solemnity that is introduced in the very first chapter of this book. And that solemnity seems to run right through every subject that is dealt with in this book to show the glory, the majesty of the Lord Jesus. There's a note of solemnity that permeates it all. And when we arrive at this chapter of last things, there's something very solemn about thinking of the reality of last things. Last things. The very last. The last click of the clock. Revelation chapter 20. Very last tick of the clock. There'll be no more clocks. There'll be no more seasons. There will be no more calendars. And every individual who has ever lived upon the face of the earth will be in their eternal abode, never to be reversed, never to be altered by any degree, fixed in heaven or the lake of fire forever. The solemnity of this scene does not consciously grip us as it ought to. But tonight, friend, for the former part of this meeting, I would like to try and draw your attention to four last things that are brought before us. Last things. First of all, I want you to take a last look at the world. Man's last look at the world. Found in verse 11. Then I want you to take a last look at the scriptures. The books that are open. A last look at the scriptures. Then I want you to consider a last look at the Savior. The last look that sinners will have of the Lord Jesus will be at the great white throne. Then I want you to consider a last look at the book of life. And finally, I would like you to look at the last look of the sinner. The sinner seen for the last time, standing before the great white throne. First of all, I want to try, if I can, my friend, just to point out to you, as we have looked in this passage, that the great white throne is not a general judgment for all men to determine their destiny. If you read carefully the verses that we have read again this evening, you will find that it is a judgment indiscriminate in regard to those that have died in their sin, for they have come out of hell to stand before the great white throne. None have come out of heaven to stand here. They come out of hell and the grave. Their bodies are brought out of the grave to stand before the great white throne. Your choices in life will determine the degree of sentence in this world. The sinner's choices, and let me remind you as well, that everyone who will appear before the great white throne, they are there because that's the only place that their nature has fit them for. Human nature, sinful nature, fits men for the day of judgment. And my friend, that is the basic reason for God's glorious gospel, as far as we are concerned, that we might be set right with God and delivered from the day of judgment. But let me notice with you these five last things. First of all, a last look at the world. This world upon which you and I are living, friend, this world in which you are making your home, and I make my home presently, this world is only a temporary structure as far as the character of our living is concerned today. It's only temporary. This world, my friend, is not all that's worth living for. It's only temporary. Verse 11 of this chapter tells us these very solemn words. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The first chapter of Hebrews reminds us that the earth and the heavens are like garments. They have served their usefulness, and God folds them up and sets them aside. There are individuals in this meeting tonight, and you're pinning all your hopes in this world. You have your priorities wrong, dear friend. You're laboring for this present world. Is it possible I'm speaking to someone and this little world you feel in which you are living, that you couldn't live without it? You feel that a Christian life would be far too restrictive for you. You couldn't live without the pleasures of sin, without the pleasures of the world. And it may be that some of you here tonight have broken away from family ties. You've stepped over the hedge and you've gone out into that world and you love it. And you can't live without it. Let me say, friend, this day will be your last look at that world. That world that you have loved and embraced to your bosom. That world in which you have built all your hopes. That world in which you have laid all your treasures is going to flee away and you'll have nothing. Nothing to stand before God with. Nothing. A whole life wasted and blasted. And cast away forever, building for the wrong world. I saw heaven and earth flee away. Oh, friend, our appeal to you tonight would be, in the language of the gospel, we would desire that you might recognize that this world in which you're living will prove to be your condemnation and damnation forever. How solemn, young man, young woman, that you should live for the things in this present world. The realities of the world to come, the realities of eternal life, do not seem to grip your heart. You see only the present. You see the glitter of the possibilities of your talents and of your abilities and of your mind, the training of that mind. Now, I do not say that education is wrong. And we're not trying to say that it isn't good to be talented and to pursue those talents and develop them. But what we want you to see, my friend, is if you pin your whole life in this world, when it's gone, you'll have nothing to meet God with. And go it will. Part it must. When the day of the great judgment, when the great white throne is set in space, and men are suspended before that throne by the word of the living God, there will be no earth then. There will be no world for you then. Nothing to satisfy your longings. No more laughs with the crowd. No more parties. No more room for your talents and your pleasures. It will be gone. See it go away for the last time. Oh, my friend, in this meeting, we would appeal to you tonight to recognize you need to look beyond this world. You need to prepare for the day when the world will pass away forever. And I ask you, what will you have then to meet God? The last sight of the world. But I want you to notice the last sight of this world. Oh, it touches my soul when I think of the Lord Jesus when he talked and spoke to the people in his day, and he reminded them that the words of grace that he was speaking to them would judge them in the last day. The word of the gospel that the Lord Jesus came to introduce to this world would be the word that's going to be opened in the day of judgment. Oh, how solemn to think of it. Is it possible a Bible will be opened in that solemn day and your eye will fall upon it, young woman? It may be that tonight you wouldn't hold a Bible in your hand. It may be, young man, that tonight you have a Bible in your hand. May I say to you kindly, at the great white throne of judgment, sinners will get their last look at the Bible. Oh, to think of that solemn day when the Lord Jesus shall open the Scriptures and read in the hearing of sinners the words of his gospel. I have often pondered in my soul, is it possible that the mind of a sinner will be saturated, literally saturated with the word of God in the day of that judgment? I wonder what will it mean to you, dear friend, in this meeting tonight, when from the lips of the judge of all the earth, those glorious words of John 3:16 will resound and echo through your soul. For God so loved the world, and you would then recognize it took me in. Oh, here I am, without a hope, confined to the second death, the lake of fire for all eternity. And in that awesome moment, before that solemn throne, men will be arraigned by divine power and the Scriptures will be opened. What will it mean, young man? What will it mean to you? I ask you kindly, when the Word of God is opened and you cast your eye for the last time upon the page of Holy Scripture and go away from that throne into the everlasting fires of that awful lake with the Word of God resounding and echoing in your soul. What will you do, young man? I plead with you tonight, young woman, I appeal to you. What will you do? And in that great day, the word of God that tonight could assure you of divine salvation and assure you of God's great provision for your eternal joy and forgiveness. What will you do when the same book will be used to your everlasting condemnation? Solemn it will be. Tonight this book
my friend, contains the plan of God's mercy and of His grace for your deliverance from condemnation. God wants to see you in heaven. He wants to see you with Him in His glory. He wants to have you to adorn His glory forever in heaven, friend, and enjoy you forever. He wants to embrace you and forgive you and cleanse you and change you. He longs to do it. But in that day, the very book that could speak the joy and assurance of your sins forgiven will speak your condemnation. Oh, how solemn will be the echoing of those lovely words in the mind and heart of a young woman that has read them for herself, learned them perhaps in a Sunday school, stood perhaps upon this very platform before the congregation of a Sunday school church. I read Isaiah chapter 53. I ask you, young man, what will it be when Isaiah 53 is read again at the great white throne? Every syllable of that chapter will be as an iron hammer to come down upon your soul with solemn weight and judgment, and to bring sorrow and remorse and grief and darkness into your soul when the solemn reality of those words are echoing in your heart, young woman. He was wounded for my transgressions. And forever the word of God will be stamped upon your soul from the great white throne of judgment. The last look at the scriptures. What a solemn look. Oh, may God give you to see tonight. You need, dear young woman, to take that Bible and to pore over its pages until your soul enters into the reality and the joy of God's salvation. Young man, you need to get alone with that book. Get away from your thinking, get away from your ideas, and get alone with the Word of God, for therein lies the glorious blessing of the assurance of salvation. And that same book that may give you salvation and its joy tonight will be for your sorrow. Oh, awful day, would to God it might grip my heart. I wish, my friend, that I could persuade you tonight to get down to business with God and His Word. What a solemn day. Oh, my soul trembles to think of those who are raised in a Christian home, raised with a Bible in their hand, the first Bible that your father and mother gave you. You remember it well. What will it be when the memory of that Bible in your hand will burn in your soul down in the lake of fire? Oh, my friend, tonight, alas, look at the Word of God that could bring you salvation. Will speak your judgment. What a sorrowful day. Flee, friend. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the Lord Jesus tonight. Your sorrow will be unbearable in the day of the great white throne. But I must remind you as well, there will be a last look at the Savior. I saw Him that sat upon the throne. Oh, dear sinner, can I not speak tenderly to you tonight? Can I not appeal to you, dear sinner, here? Some of you have no care about your soul. I fain would desire to see you awaken. Dear young man, young woman, tonight with all our soul, we would long to see you face the reality. In that day, your eye will look upon the wounds of Christ. Oh, what will it be when you see the Lord Jesus face to face? In that day, those hands, wounded upon Golgotha's tree, in His great love wherewith He has loved you, in the great agonies of His soul by which He suffered upon Golgotha's tree, those wounds will be witness to you that He has loved you. And you'll gaze upon that hand, young woman, the hand of the Savior. You'll gaze upon that hand. For my part, I long for the day when I will look upon those wounds. Long for that day, happy day, when I shall gaze upon the wounds of the man that loved me unto death and paid for my sin. But oh, what will you do, dear sinner? What will you do in the morning of the great white throne when you look upon the hands of the Lord Jesus, those hands that are outstretched in mercy tonight? They invite you to turn from your sinful way and live and be forgiven and saved from judgment They would embrace you, those hands tonight, and speak your sins forgiven. Those wounds are the assurance of his love for your soul. But oh, what will they be in that day when you see the man who once was upon the tree for your salvation, he's seated upon the throne in solemn judgment. Not a note of mercy will come from his lip. Not a look of mercy will cross your eye from his in that awful day. Those hands that are outstretched to you now will not be outstretched then. But oh, what will it be when from the great white throne you pass away into the pillars of the second death? Written upon your memory is that wounded hand of the man that loved you unto death. Young woman, you'll never forget the sight of that wounded hand in the lake of fire. Young man, you will never escape the awful reality of that memory when in the awfulness of the second death forever, written upon your memory will be the sight of the hands of the Lord Jesus, the wounded hands of the man of Calvary, and that will be your last sight of him, your last sight. The last sight of the book of life, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. My, I yearn for the day when I shall, if you will allow the expression, look upon that book and behold the name of James Smith, a poor, miserable, unworthy sinner. Ah, written on that page, bright and fair. Oh, what joy to know my name is written in heaven. But oh, my friend, I ask you, have you ever pondered, you tonight who may have the joy of the assurance of your name being in that book, what will it be, my dear friend, when the blessed hand of the Lord Jesus shall make his way leaf by leaf through the book of life? Not found, oh, what a solemn thought. It seems, does it not, to reverberate through the soul as the eye of the living God passes from name to name, line to line, page to page, and there suspended before that throne is that woman that sat in the gospel meetings and refused the Savior, that young man that held a Bible in his hand and wanted at times to know God's salvation, but spurned the moment and chose the world. Oh, I ask you, what will it be when the hand of the Savior passes from page to page, and there the Word of God says there was not found? How solemn, oh friend, tonight, what will it be to look upon that book in which your name might have been written, that book, my friend, for which the precious blood of Christ at Calvary was shed, that your name might be inscribed upon that page so fair? What will it be? Oh, what a memory! What an awful memory! Would to God it would waken you tonight that you'll look on the book of life and pass away into the second death. What an awful look! Oh, one would fain cover their face in that day, I am sure. Sinners would fain hide away if only there would be a cloud to hide them from the visage of the man upon the throne, from the sights of that awful day, the wounds of the Savior, the open Bible and the book of life. Oh, what a solemn sorrow to penetrate your soul, never to leave you again. Dear friend, can you not recognize why we would appeal to you tonight? Can you not see the awfulness of that day when all hope is fled and the world is gone and the Savior is judged and the Bible is your condemnation and the book of life is the seal of your everlasting judgment in the second death, which is the lake of fire? But as I sit down, I want you to have one last look. Oh, would to God that you might just take a look at the last verse of that solemn chapter. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A last look at the sinner. I can truthfully say to you tonight, my friend, that verse is one of the verses that haunts my soul.
when I seek to preach the gospel.
Not only do I look into the faces of young men and women, but we think of those whom we love. And we wonder in that day, will we see them pass from the great white throne, cast away by the ministers of the throne of heaven, angelic beings, taken and cast away into the second death. Young woman, it will be the last that your mother will see for eternity. The last, young man, that your loving father will cast his eye upon you forever. When an angel takes a hold upon your hand, and from the great white throne, the Bible says, they are cast away. O awful Father, dear sinner, we appeal to you, we plead with you tonight to listen to the truth of the gospel. Open your ear, young man. Open your ear, young woman, to the truths of the grace of God. The great white throne is awesome. Terrible judgment lies just at the end of a Christless life. A last look at the world. You're clinging to it tonight. It will be wrenched from your grasp and you'll lose it forever. You have nothing to meet God with. Oh, a last look at the precious sacred scripture. Oh, my friend, ponder it well. Pursue its page. Cry for mercy. Look for the Savior. The Word of God, it will be open to condemn you. A last look at the Savior. The lovely hands of the man of Calvary. Be branded on your memory to go with you into the lake of fire. The wounds of the man that loved me. Oh, friend, be wise tonight. Flee to Christ tonight. Seek him while you may, ere the day of judgment come, find you in your sin. What an awful day. Alas, look at the book of life. What a solemn look. And finally the cover is closed, and God says, not found. And a last look at the sinner. Oh, may God write it on our hearts. Those of us who have loved ones in their sin, see them go away. God make it real. Graciously touch our heart as we see them go away forever. Cast away into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, friend, take heed to the gospel tonight. Seek the Lord Jesus that you might be saved from the great white throne.